Welcome back to Girly MMA Fan Podcast. I am sorry that I have been absent. In my defense, I did say that it was going to be really hard for me to keep up with this shit because I have a full-time job and I'm in school part-time. So thank God that it's the last week of my fucking semester so I can breathe for about 3 weeks. So with that being said, it has been a little while since I uploaded my first episode, but a lot of the shit that I'm going to talk about is not that fucking old. That's the thing with the MMA world. If you're not on top of shit like every single day, it seems like shit moves so fast. So a lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk about just seems so old, but it's like in reality, it's only been like 10 days. You know, it's like I try to like log on to my Instagram, but you miss a day. Like there's been days where I go like half a day without going on Instagram and checking out news and what everybody's fucking talking about, going on Twitter, all of that. And there's been like hella shit that I missed. I'm like, dude, the MMA world moves way too fast. I still have a lot that I want to say about shit that has happened. So I'm going to talk about it. And that's going to go as far back as May 9th. UFC 249, Gaethje versus Ferguson. Now, I'm not going to, you know, go into detail. I just want to talk about some of the highlights that I want to talk about and some things that I want to say about not only the actual fight, but things that were said after the fight and some controversies that are going around. And so Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson, there's not much that I have to say other than what a beautiful performance by Justin Gaethje. He was patient. He was collected. He was calculated. He was everything he needed to be in that fight to be able to win that fight. If you remember last episode, I said that he was going to gas. He would have if he would have gone exactly how he had been in his past fights. However, he said it himself. If these guys think that I'm going to go into this fight like I used to, like, I'm not that stupid. He acknowledged that he could not fight the way that he was fighting against high-level fighters like Tony Ferguson. So I think that's what won him his fight. The fact that he was patient and he picked his shots and he didn't go all in, even though he hit Tony Ferguson with everything that he had. I mean, can we talk about how Tony Ferguson survived that fight? I mean, he got his ass kicked the entire fucking fight. The fight wasn't stopped until like, I want to say 3 minutes left of like the fifth round. Tony, we have never seen Tony. We have never seen anybody do what Justin Gaethje did to Tony Ferguson. It was just shocking. And if you're going to sit here and tell me that you expected Tony Ferguson to get his ass fucking handed to him like he did, you're a fucking liar. I'm just being honest. Yeah. So hats off to Justin Gaethje. He is doing everything he needs to do right now. Now all the big dogs want to call out fucking Justin Gaethje. You know, you got fucking Conor McGregor now scared that he's losing his little clout. So now he's out here chasing clout, trying to get this fight with Justin Gaethje. But like Justin Gaethje said, he's doing the right thing. He needs to make motherfuckers wait now. They made him wait. Conor didn't want to give him the fight. Now, you know what? The ball is in fucking Justin Gaethje's court and fucking handle it. Make him wait. As much as Conor hates it, he's going to have to fucking wait, you know, because I don't think that that fight's going to happen. It's going to be Justin Gaethje versus Khabib, which is going to be another story for another day. So that was enough of that fight. So the next thing I want to talk about is Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. Of course, we all know that I said that, you know, I picked a Dominic Cruz to win this fight. Henry went in there with the perfect plan. He went in with the leg kicks and it worked. He started hurting Dominic Cruz. He started slowing him down and it worked. And he caught him with the knee. But I think that even if he wouldn't have knocked him out with the kick, I think in the long run, looking at how he was fighting in his game plan, I still think that Henry Cejudo would have won that fight, to be clear. Because I think eventually he would have wear down that leg and Dominic Cruz would have been majorly impacted and not be able to move as much, be as mobile as he usually is. And eventually he would have used his wrestling. Yes, we know that Dominic Cruz is a great wrestler, but I don't think that he's a better wrestler than Henry Cejudo. So even without the knockout, I would have still given Henry Cejudo that fight the way that he was fighting. So now, as far as Dominic Cruz, the allegations that he was saying about the ref after, look, Dominic Cruz has always been the guy and that I have loved because he has always taken his losses and he's never been a baby about it. No fucking excuses and just fucking moved on from them, learned from them. This whole ref accusation that he was talking about and saying that he was up and he was moving up and he was not really out is fucking bullshit. It really is. He was not getting up. He fucking wasn't. He just wasn't. Take your fucking loss and go, bro. Like, you know, and get back in there. Don't fucking cry about it. You know, I was watching the Ariel Helwani show and still today he was still crying about it. I thought he would have watched back the tape and then realized that he was not, to me personally, and I watched it back. It looked like he was out. I'm done talking about that. I was really disappointed in Dominic Cruz about that. Well, then there's Francis Ngannou versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Couple punches in. Guy just destroyed him. Did we think it was going to go otherwise? Not really. But, you know, it is what it is. You got this whole John Jones thing going on with Francis Ngannou. Who do you guys think would win that fight? Honestly, for me, it's kind of hard because obviously if you get caught, if Francis catches you, you're like, you're a dead man. John Jones is one of the best. Like him or not, douchebag or not, just my opinion. He's one of the best out there. He fights long. He does not let you get in there. We obviously have seen John Jones in some fights like Dominic Reyes and people like Alexander Gustafsson who have got in there and gave him a shot. But these guys also had the cardio to keep up with him and go 100% five rounds with him, just battling it out. Could Francis Ngannou do that? I don't know. We haven't seen that from him, really. On the other side of that is, could John Jones avoid Francis from catching him with a deadly fucking hand? Just an overhand, right? That's all he needs, you know? That's something to think about. I don't know. I think I'm up in the air with this one. But I don't think John Jones really wants this fight. Like, I mean, he really has a lot to lose. And in Ghana, what would he have to lose? I mean, he would lose to John Jones, and that's not really a bad thing. For John Jones, he has so much more to lose. Like, I don't think it would be a smart decision to go and fight Ngannou and get knocked the fuck out. Can you just imagine if that happened? That would be crazy. Whoever his next opponent is, God be with you, sir. We will all be praying for you. Another fight that I wanted to just quickly skim through is Bryce Mitchell versus Charles Rosa. What a beautiful performance that was, and how many twister attempts he did. And these aren't just like twister attempts like that were just not even close to being finished. These are like he was pretty close on closing in on a few of them, on a couple of them at least. Guy looked impressive. I'm super impressed with him. And of course, Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens. That was just an excellent fight. Exactly what I expected out of that match. Jeremy Stephens just got caught. He was doing great in that fight. Both of them looked great in that fight, but Stephens ended up getting caught. So it is what it is. That's how the game goes. All right. Next up is Glover Teixeira versus Anthony Smith. That was the UFC fight night on May 13th. I have a lot to say. I'm a little upset of the whole situation with Anthony Smith versus Glover Teixeira. Originally, we all, I'm sure, have heard the controversial non-stoppage by the corner of Anthony Smith, by the ref. Fight wasn't stopped. It should have been stopped. blah, 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 which I completely agree with. The flight should have been stopped before the fourth round, period. Okay, this is my opinion. So a little bit after the fight, obviously, everyone was outraged. I even posted my own post about it. I reposted Chael Sonnen's reaction to the fight, and everyone collectively agreed that that fight went on for way too long. And I think that the way that Chael Sonnen described it was perfect. You don't pull your guy out when he can no longer fight. You pull your guy out when he can no longer win. Anthony Smith went on this last weekend's card. He had tweeted about the Elkins fight. And if you don't know what Anthony Smith is referring to, is Darren Elkins versus Nate Lander. That fight was super bloody. It was super back and forth match. And in one of the last rounds, Elkins got a huge gash on his forehead. And it looked a lot worse. I mean, I think that the blood made it look so much more gory than it actually was. What Anthony Smith was implying was that at what point are we stopping this fight? So for him to imply that, First of all, him and Darren Elkins were fighting at the same pace at the third round is absolutely fucking ridiculous. If you're really going to tell me that Anthony was fighting at the same pace as Elkins was fighting in that third round, you are fucking tripping. He was not fucking fighting at that level. Anthony was exhausted. His fucking teeth was falling out. I look back at that fight just to be sure what he thought he was comparing, what he was comparing his situation to. I suggest to you that you go and you watch the Glover Teixeira versus Anthony Smith and compare it to a Darren Elkins fight. Darren Elkins was in that fight until the very fucking end. He didn't look exhausted. His teeth weren't fucking falling out. That's handing the ref his teeth. So for Anthony to imply that was the same thing, it's fucking not the same thing. It's not. And granted, though, Anthony is absolutely correct about something that he said while he did an interview with Ariel Helwani, and that it wasn't his corner's responsibility. He felt like it was the doctor and the ref's responsibility. Absolutely. Okay. I get that. I totally get that. He said himself that he talked to his corner, which I don't know. I call bullshit on him saying that he specifically asked his corner not to stop a fight. I don't know. That's just me. Sorry, guys. I'm being honest. I think I call bullshit. I don't think that Anthony ever had that conversation with his corner. It was the job of the ref and the doctor to stop the fight. I agree. I think it was more on them. But at what point does your corner say, okay, they're not fucking stopping it? At what point are you going to say, like, we have to take responsibility for our fighter now? That's fine if he really does feel that way. And then he makes his corner feel like they're not responsible. Like, this is the ref's fault. And this is something that lands on the responsibility of the ref and the doctor. I get that. But then the ref apologizes for not stopping the fight, and this fucking guy calls him a fucking pussy for it. Like, don't go and say that it's okay and for this dude to do his job and then go and call him a pussy for apologizing for not doing his job. It's super fucking ignorant for you to do something like that. He goes on and says that the world is too soft. No, Anthony, we're not too fucking soft. We just recognize when a guy is fucking getting his teeth knocked the fuck out. Like, I don't understand why it's so hard for him to accept that him losing his fucking teeth and not fighting back, yeah, defending, but not fighting back anymore, that wasn't enjoyable at all. After the fourth round, it was just sad to watch. So yeah, to say that I'm disappointed in Anthony Smith, to say the least. I think that he could have handled this whole situation better and not call everyone other than his corner an asshole, including the everyone trying to fucking defend the dude. It just we all know that he was done in that fight. All right, moving on. Another fight I wanted to talk about is the OSP fight versus Ben Rothwell. Did we all collectively feel like OSP looked sad as fuck? I think we could all agree that he did not look great. I didn't really enjoy the fight. It was really long, and I think I posted something about the very end of the fight. Late hits on that fight. That's about all I remember. Yeah, that's all about all I have to say about that fight. I thought that OSP looked really bad in heavyweight. And if he's going to plan, I don't think he's planning on going to heavyweight, is he? But if he is, he needs to get in better shape because he did not look good. Moving on, I wanted to highlight the undercard. Andre Arlovsky versus Philip Lins. You guys, that fight, wow. Congrats to Andre Arlovsky. I've always really enjoyed his fights. That was a great matchup, by the way. I really enjoyed it. I don't think that anybody really saw Andre Arlovsky winning this fight. And he didn't just win this fight by a little bit, you guys. He won this fight. Definitely won that fight with no debate on that. You know what did have a debate, though? May 16th, fight night, Overeem versus Harris. I don't think I've ever watched, no, that's debatable. This is the first card in a long time that I've watched that so many people got fights stolen from them. This is debatable. Everyone was fighting about it over the internet saying, oh, close fights don't mean this. Don't leave it to the judges. Da, 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 da. I think it's a little bit ridiculous. Let's just start from the top, okay? Alistair Overeem versus Walt Harris. Obviously, that was kind of sad to watch. No one really wanted to watch Walt Harris lose. I know I didn't, but you know, for a second, we all thought that Harris was going to win that fight. He had Alistair Overeem really fucking hurt, and he couldn't contain himself. I think that I don't know if it had anything to do with, you know, the loss of his daughter and what he was coming back from, but he didn't have a lot of control. He could have finished that fight, but he went a little wild, and consequently Alistair Overeem came back. And let's just talk about how amazing Alistair Overeem looks at 40 years old. He looks great. Dude is doing a great job at staying in shape and getting his name out there and keeping his name relevant. Dude has so many fights, like, honestly, hats off. Anyway, so let's start talking about all the stolen fights. Or okay, let's just rename it to not, like, piss people off, right? Let's talk about all the fights that were controversial. Everyone's favorite word. Claudia Gadella versus Angela Hill. Come on, you guys. Come on. How can you say that you're going to give any other round than the first round to Claudia? I don't understand it. Angela Hill beat the shit out of Claudia Gadella. Sorry. She had the second and the third. She did enough. What, Dana, I think Dana White gave her, like, the first or the third. I don't even know. I just know that Claudia Gadella did not win that fucking fight. It was by split decision. They gave Claudia 29-28 and 29-28 for the first. I give her the first. But are we just not taking account for all of the takedown attempts that she did that Angela Hill just defended? We're not doing cage control anymore. We're not doing, I mean, what are we basing all of this, all of the fighting on nowadays? I think that it's a fucking issue. MMA needs to come up with their own scoring system because it's getting to the point where you got situations like Edson Barboza versus Dan Ige. This one, actually, it was a little bit closer. They were all pretty fucked up, but Edson Barboza obviously won this fight in my eyes. I was a little shook. Edson Barboza went in there and did everything that he had to do to win that fight. But yeah, it wasn't enough apparently for the fucking judges. And you know who else I'm mad at? The Song versus Vera fight. Now this one, if anybody tries to fucking argue with me that this was not Vera's fight, come on, you guys, come on. Vera did everything. I was so shocked when they raised Song's hand. Vera controlled the entire fight. He capitalized every single chance that he got. Yeah, he was doing great in that fight. I don't know what he could have done better to win that fight other than fucking finish him. Yeah, pretty disappointing. So up next, you guys, we have some scheduled events coming up. However, they look kind of sketch, you guys. You have the Fight Night May 30th card, which only as of today, May 20th, has one fight on it. And we don't even know if it's going to be the main event. I think it's going to be the main event, but we'll see. It's Tyrone Woodley versus Gilbert Burns. I think that Woodley has the advantage on the feet in this fight. Obviously, Gilbert Burns has some knockout power. He just knocked out Damian Maia. And so he's coming in with that confidence. But Woodley has a lot heavier hands, I feel like. And he is also just a better striker in general. Gilbert Burns, his best bet is just to hit the ground. Of course, that they're both good grapplers, but Gilbert Burns is just, if you look at any of his submissions, just the smooth arm bars that he gets into. He has some great submissions on his record. It's really going to help him. He's been able to go the distance in fights, so I am sure that that's going to help him as well. But I think that Burns' best bet is hit the ground. And Gilbert Burns is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so he does have that advantage over Woodley. I think that his best bet is try to submit him, try to keep it on the ground. I don't know. I can't say if I could see Gilbert Burns knocking out Woodley. Damian Maia is obviously a lot. Is he a lot older than Woodley? I'm not sure, actually. But I do think that Tyrone Woodley is able to absorb more damage than Damian Maia. The reason that I'm saying that this is sketch is because we don't have a location yet, guys. I was under the impression that the next few fights, until we had secured a location here in the U.S. or at Fight Island, we were going to do the fights in Florida. If everything was going smoothly in Florida, I don't understand why they didn't continue to have the fights there. Unless they had some type of issue, but no one really talked about having any type of issue in Florida. I'm kind of confused on why they changed the location. What else can be more secure than a venue you've already had events on? I mean, if you go somewhere else, you might run into some issues. I mean, I don't know what, they might go to Vegas, I guess, to the stadium they built there. But so I don't know what the fuck they're planning to do. But they also have UFC 250 scheduled for June 6th, Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer. Yeah, I'm excited for that fight as well. We'll talk about that when it gets closer to the fight. But what do you guys think? Where do you guys think that they plan on having the rest of this the events? And do you think that it was a good idea for them to move locations? So yeah, guys, that wraps up everything that I wanted to talk about. I had a lot that I was passionate about, so it might have come off as super aggressive. So sorry about that, but it's just how I feel. So that's pretty much it. I'm going to wrap this up, and I will be doing predictions for once they release the rest of the fucking card for May 30th. I will be more than happy to do some predictions and a fucking podcast about it. But we're like 10 days away, you guys, and they still haven't announced a full fight card. I'm getting kind of nervous. Yeah, so we will talk soon. Go ahead and hit subscribe to a Girly MMA Fan podcast. I am going to be posting the podcast on all available platforms, obviously. And go ahead and go give my Instagram a follow, Girly MMA Fan Podcast.